In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I heard, this is just hearsay, that there was a lotto this weekend worth billions of dollars that was won by a person in California. Billions of dollars. I mean, can't even imagine that much money. What would you do with that kind of money? Imagine the daydreams. And so, at this point, I've already lost half of you from this sermon. You're going to be thinking about what to do with these billions of dollars that got won. And I hope that as part of your plans, you will plan to make a generous endowment for St. Thomas. But for the other half, I want to share with you about something even greater than billions of dollars. What could be greater than billions of dollars? The promises of God. Right? This week, we celebrate Bible Sunday. And for us, the Bible is a record of the promises of God. It's like a receipt, or like your winning lotto ticket, right? That you get to hold on to and take care of and keep your eye on. Keep your eye on the prize. This is exactly the kind of thing that Jesus was dealing with his disciples at the temple, as we just heard in the gospel. Right, the temple was this beautiful building. It had been built over, it was said, 80 years. And Herod, who was the king who built that temple, was trying to buy the loyalty of the Jewish people. And so this temple was extravagant in the extreme. And it was full of dedications. Did you hear that? In other words, plaques. You know, you look around an Episcopal church and this was dedicated and that was dedicated, and on the bottom of each of our windows we see who those are dedicated to. I guess we got that idea from the temple. And so, you know, you can imagine the disciples in this beautiful space, and it's not too hard to imagine, right? Because we have those in our world today, right? We go into cathedrals. We go into some large urban parishes, right? And just the scale can leave you in awe, right? We see Westminster Abbey on television, or some of us maybe in person. And even St. Thomas, right? Little St. Thomas was built to evoke those same ideas, those same images and memories, and it works, doesn't it? Right? People walk into this space all the time and they say, wow, it's so beautiful. And that's what the disciples were doing, right? They walked into this beautiful space of worship and they said, it's gorgeous. And Jesus said, you're right. And don't get too distracted by that. Because the beauty of this place, of this building, well, that's temporary. And Jesus, you know, Jesus was probably a pretty smart guy. And he could probably see the tensions rising with the Romans and have an idea that probably pretty soon, as did happen, the Romans would come in and flatten the temple. And he said, don't focus on that too much. Right? That's not the point. And so the disciples ask, well, when will it be? And Jesus says, well, there are some bad things that are going to happen, right? There will be wars and rumors of wars and insurrections and earthquakes and all this stuff. And don't get distracted by that either. Because those things aren't the point either. You know, for us today, it's easy to get distracted by the thought of billions of dollars. It's also easy for us to get distracted by news, by politics. Right? And we might be tempted to worry sometimes that it will be the end of the world if someone gets elected or if someone doesn't get elected. And those things are important, right? I mean, it is important to vote and participate in democracy and to vote your values, right, as Christians. But always, always, we must keep asking ourselves, where is our hope? What is the thing that we're counting on? Right? What is the foundation on which our security relies? Is it a politician? Or a particular government? Or even a particular nation state? Is it in our money? And always as Christians, we have to keep calling ourselves back as Jesus did to his disciples and keep our eyes on the prize. On the promises of God. Neither billions of dollars, nor beauty, nor chaos, nor evil, nor war, none of these compare with the promises of God. You know, beauty is something that we can help create, we can participate in, and it's good. It is a foretaste, right? A symbol of something far greater that toward it reaches. And sometimes we might find ourselves also complicit in chaos and evil. And yet neither beauty nor evil are the final word. Neither of them will last. So don't get distracted. This is what our first reading said as well from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says, God says through Isaiah, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." God is not saying, you know, you're kind of forgetful. I mean, I'm kind of forgetful. But that's not what is being talked about here. God is saying that God's promises, this new heavens, this new earth, will be so tremendous that you won't even bother remembering the thing that has passed. Right, it's after the new day dawns that kind of the terrors of the night fade away and you can let them go. Right, there's something coming that is so much better than anything that we could contrive to grasp onto today. That God is saying, don't get distracted, look forward, look ahead to what God is promising. Cling on to that. Something far greater than billions of dollars or anything those billions could buy. Today is the day that we use Proper 28, the collect that we heard this morning. "Blessed Lord, who calls all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life." This is a collect that was in the very first Book of Common Prayer back in 1549. It's possible that Thomas Cranmer himself wrote this collect. And the point of this collect is to draw our attention to the scriptures and to remind us that the promises of God are worth even more than billions of dollars. And on this Bible Sunday, our scriptures are a precious gift that we share with our children. Right? In our later service, we're going to give Bibles to, I believe, our fourth graders. Now, as Episcopalians, we have kind of an unfortunate reputation as people maybe who don't know their Bible. And I don't think that's quite accurate. I think we get that reputation because we don't use our Bibles the way that some others do in very obvious ways. Right? We don't quote from our Bibles when we're in arguments. We don't use them as proof texts to say, "I'm right and you're wrong." That's not how Episcopalians use our Bibles. Instead, we gather together and we hear three different passages of Scripture, don't we? We hear something from the Old Testament and an epistle and a gospel reading. And we have a psalm that we always say together, or today a canticle, which is today's canticle was just a passage from the prophet Isaiah, a song within Isaiah. And so we have, instead, we carry with us a Book of Common Prayer, which has been described as a Bible arranged for prayer. Right? About 85% of the Book of Common Prayer is Scripture, just arranged in a way that's convenient for us as we use it to pray together. And so while I appreciate study and scholarship and a deep understanding of Scripture that can reason through what's going on there and help us to understand it better, these things are important. But they're important precisely because the deeper aim of Scripture, the deeper purpose of Scripture, is prayer. Is communion with God. And so our Bibles lead us into engagement with the promises of God, and that is the gift that we're giving to our children today. The Bible has been given to us and to our children to form us, to encourage us, to teach us how to hope, what to hope in, how to know God, what the promises of God are, and how to encounter God in prayer. So my encouragement to us today is to keep our eyes on the prize. The billions of dollars are not the prize. We hold in our hands, there you can find the pew in front of you there, something that's worth far more. The Bible shows us the way to what is real, what is lasting, and what is beautiful.